some of them more difficult passages. And I want the challenge of being able to take the book and preach it for what it says and what it means. Amen. And I'm going to have a church that desires to hear the word of the Lord. And I'm grateful for the Lord's blessings. 1 John chapter number 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 tonight and try to preach this evening. I love my church. And I love this place that God's given me. I'll be honest with you today, I study and kind of push back from my desk. Kind of sometimes you got to walk around and clear your brain a little bit. It helps to eat a Kit Kat. Helps to eat a Kit Kat. If you're ever studying, kids, you're ever writing a paper for school, helps get a Kit Kat or a Reese. Kind of clears your mind. And I was just thanking God for our church and what He's done here and the blessings. And I'm just grateful for it. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now it is already in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and they would heareth them. And the world heareth them. We are of God. Let me go back and read that correctly, okay? I don't want to mess up God's word. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And may God add His richest blessing to the reading of His word tonight. Don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see. It was the advice I heard an older preacher give a candidate one time in an ordination service. He's going around the room giving advice and counsel, and the old preacher looked at him and said, "Don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see." And what he was trying to explain to that young man was things are not always as they appear. You can look at this rock up here, this beautiful rock that we have up on the baptistry wall, and it looks like real rock, but you get up there, you're going to find it ain't nothing but foam. I was going to put some back there on the sound booth. I'd order extra. But I know people around here, y'all pick at it. And it'd be, somebody said the kids would do it. No, the adults would do it. They'd be standing there talking to Rob and Phil and picking up against the wall. And so we decided not to do that. But that looks like rock. These plants tonight are beautiful. We're thankful for them. But you don't have to water them. They don't have to have sunshine. They are not what they appear. And so we have to be careful. So the whole point of this text tonight, I want to preach on this thought, it's in your note, on the great need for discernment. The great need for discernment. Webster's defines the word discernment as the act of discerning, the power and faculty of the mind which distinguishes one thing from another, as truth from falsehood, as vice from virtue. But Eddie Davis said that discernment was not necessarily saying what is right from wrong, but what's right from what's almost right. You see, tonight we all know that there are some things that are blatantly wrong, okay? But one of the things the devil does, and we'll say more about it in the message tonight as we go further in the text, but the devil is good at mixing error in with some truth. He's good at mixing a little bit of truth in with error and thus corrupting the whole doctrine and corrupting the whole truth. And so we need discernment. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 3 verse 1, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you?" The word bewitch means to charm. It means to fascinate. It means to deceive. Paul is warning is indicting the Galatians about being deceived by these false teachers, the Judaizers, in that context. And he said, you've been bewitched. You've been deceived. And may I say this tonight, John is doing the same thing to these believers here. He's saying, you don't need to believe everything you see. I find it funny. My wife tells me as I get older, I'm going to have a terrible memory. I'm going to be fat, which I'm already, in that neighborhood. And I'm going to be bald-headed. Hopefully, I'm going to keep my hair, okay? I mean, Shut up, William. Amen. Because I let old people, fat people, and bald-headed people have it, all right? But I'm going to leave the fat people alone because, you know, the struggle is real. And so, but my wife said if I quit eating popcorn with a bottle of, melted butter on top of it every night, it'd probably help me. But then what's the point of living, all right? I got to thinking, as you get older, older people are funny sometimes. Younger people are funny sometimes. There are two groups of people that don't need social media and driver's license. Young people and older people. Come on now, say amen. And one of the things that always, I know it's an old person on Facebook when I see this thing. Copy and paste this and ads will be gone from your Facebook feed. Or Facebook is going to charge a monthly fee on your Facebook account. But if you'll like and share this, you'll forfeit the $9.99 fee. I'm like, you know, they read it and they believe it. They don't want to get charged $9.99 a month. What was really funny is when my dad shared one the other day. I'm like, okay, dad is officially old. Okay, he shared one of them ad things. Tony, did you share one of those today? Okay, all right. Somebody said, how do you know when you're getting old? When your vision's bad? When your eyesight, hearing's bad? No, when you share those things on Facebook. Or like my grandma's done a few times, when you share a post that might be good, but it's from a very, very bad page. I'm like, Grandma, why are you even following that page? I mean, I don't even want to go there. So, you know what you have to do? Now, don't believe everything you read. Don't believe it. It's not what I actually know some folks have had people call and say they're from the IRS or say they're from a collection agency and say, if you don't pay so much money, my mom had that happen to her. They called us at Gateway and said that my mom had papers out for arrest. No, she's not selling Bitcoin, if anybody has her old Facebook account, okay? But they was going to arrest her if she didn't pay this bill. And what it was a scam. It was a scam. And so you can't believe everything you hear because everybody ain't telling the truth. And it's the same way in the church world. It's the same way in the religious world. You can't believe everything you hear. So you know what you need? You've got to have some discernment. You've got to be able to tell what's right from what's almost right. You've got to have that spirit of discernment. So there's three things tonight in our text we want to emphasize. First of all, tonight, there is the serious warning in verse number 1. The serious warning. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. He is giving in verse 1 a serious warning. And there are three or four things about this serious warning that I want to emphasize. In verse number 1. First of all, I see his compassion in verse 1. The first word of verse 1, beloved. That is John's word. One writer said that is John's word for the church, for the believers, beloved. John's not the only one that uses that word, but one writer said that's John's word, beloved. It is a term of endearment. It is a term of affection for the church, for the body of Christ. Oh, about you tonight, we preached it last week. I sure do love the church, and I thank God for the body of Christ. But here's what I want to emphasize in this warning. The reason that John is warning them, it's because he loves them. And a preacher who will not warn you about sin, and a preacher who will not warn you about false doctrine, he does not love you, he loves your money. He is a hireling. And so right before, Brother Clayton, right before he gives this a serious warning, it's a hard warning, we're going to dig further in it, he starts off by saying, beloved. He don't call them dogs. He don't call them a derogatory name. I don't have no time for a preacher that speaks to God's bride harshly. You talk to my wife and call her some of the names I've heard the church called, we're going to have problems, amen? We better remember as preachers that we are speaking to the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and we better speak to her in enduring terms. We ought to preach the word and use biblical terms, amen? But here's my point. A preacher who will not tell you the truth does not love you. Well, that preacher must not like me. He's just always preaching negative and always some wolf accused my daddy last week of not lifting up Jesus and went around and told 8 or 9 people in the church before they left. I told daddy, I said, they wouldn't have lasted me 5 years ago. I wouldn't have put up with that, amen. Just going around sowing discord and all that. And you know what that problem is? I told my dad, I said, they don't know the Lord. They want somebody to pat them on the head and tell them they're okay. They want somebody just to lift them up, make them feel good. May I remind us tonight, church is not about feeling good. It's about exalting the Lord. Now, I feel good when I go to church, but that's not the main objective. The main objective of the local church is to magnify. So I said, it's to see sinners saved. I agree with that, but that's not the main objective. The main objective of the church is to magnify Jesus Christ. You know how we magnify Him? By worshiping Him, by dealing with our sin, by obeying His Word, by walking in truth, by walking in the light. And if we'll do those things, we'll have a burden for sinners. We'll have a burden to reach others with the gospel. Amen. But the church, I've been stuck on this. The church is not made for the world. The church is made for the body of Christ. We invite sinners to come. We're having a big day with that emphasis. But how'd I get on all this again? The church is for believers. Amen. We don't need to make the church look like the world. His compassion. Then notice His concern. Believe not every spirit. John's saying, do not believe everything you hear. I usually don't have you turn in these verse-by-verse series, but I want you to take your Bible, hold your finger in 1 John 4. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. It's right after the book of Genesis. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 tonight. It is. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And I want you to see these verses. If you're in the habit of marking in your Bible, you might want to underline a verse. I was reading through. All I have is King James Bible. Somebody help me. But I have multiple King James Bibles, and my wife gets on to me about that a lot. But I found one of my old Bibles, and I was reading through it this week. I took it to Tennessee with me in my meeting, and I was just reading that Bible in the hotel, and I come across this passage and a note that I'd read. I'd written in my Bible. Somebody else must have said it, because I don't think I'm that brilliant, but I didn't write their name, so maybe it was mine. But look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit, capital S, speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Watch how. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving in them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused except for libermush, if it be received with thanksgiving. Sorry, that's in my Bible, okay? For it is sanctified. There ain't no way liver must be sanctified. Somebody help me, all right? It is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. But look at verse number 6 now. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Of what things? Of the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He said, Timothy, if you'll put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourishing up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. He said, Timothy, you want to be a good pastor? You better warn people about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And so a real man of God will warn you about false doctrine. I wrote my Bible, I want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Well, one of the ways I need to do that is by warning about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There is the compassion, and there is the concern, but then there is the consideration. But try the spirits, whether they are of God. It may look good. Seducing spirits are not going to come right out and say, you know, bow to Satan, worship Satan. They're not going to do that. They know better than that. But here's what they will do. They'll be deceptive. They'll mix truth with error. This is not teaching. By the way, try the spirits, whether they're of God. This is not teaching that we're to confront demons. That's not what that verse is teaching. It's also not teaching that we are to perform exorcisms. I can't find in the church epistles where anybody done an exorcism. I can't find that in the church epistles at all. You find it in the book of Acts, but they're also healing lame people in the book of Acts. Amen. And so some guys fall out with me on that, but I don't believe our job is to perform exorcisms on people. We're to preach the gospel, and if they get born again, the devil's going to leave. Amen. So, this is not teaching confronting demons or performing exorcisms, but rather it means to try them by what? By the book. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and a law, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Isaiah 8, verse 19 and 20. Write that reference down. Isaiah 8, 19 and 20. Listen to what Isaiah said. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There is so much mysticism in our fundamental Baptist churches. I know it. I've sat through it. I've been in services where a preacher would go, that flag just blew that way. The Lord must want us to pray that direction. No, there's an air conditioning unit up there and it kicked on. You laugh, but I've seen it. And I never understood this stuff. You know, you're going to pray over somebody, so we're going to, like, you know, be like Luke Skywalker and use the force. Our Heavenly Father, you know, we're going to send prayers their way. And they're reaching out their hands. That's mysticism. Amen? Now, in the Bible, you're talking about laying hands on somebody. There's some people I like to lay hands on, but that's not what it's talking about. But these people, you know, touch your neighbor to connect this prayer. This ain't telephone. Some of these kids don't know what playing telephone is. What my point is tonight is he's saying don't go to wizards, don't go to familiar spirits, don't seek for the supernatural, seek the scriptures, seek the word of God. Why would we want to go for something spooky when we have something scriptural? How do we try the spirits? How do we know if these guys are fakes or phonies? What do they do with the word of God? Line them up with the book. There is the compassion, and there is only the compassion. There is the concern and the consideration. But look at the last clause, the counterfeits. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The reason John is admonishing the church to try the Spirit is because the false prophets are already here. Matthew 7 warns about the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. How many of you have heard this verse? Well, you'll know them by their fruits. You know who that's talking about? False prophets. The way to know a false prophet is by false professions. By your fruits ye shall know them. False prophets produce false professions. In fact, later on in that text, is them false prophets stand before the Lord saying, did we not prophesy in thy name? And thy name done many wonderful works. And thy name cast out devils. Then Jesus will look at him and say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. That's what Matthew 7 is about. He said, you need to, these false prophets are gone out into the world. There is the serious warning. Number 2, verses 2 and 3. There is the scriptural wisdom. The scriptural wisdom. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now it is already in the world. Notice three or four things about this scriptural wisdom. First of all, we note the confidence in verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. He said, you know who the Spirit of God is. You have confidence in that. You know why? Because He lives on the inside of you. Hey, if you're saved, you know when something's not right. You ever been watching something on TV? People laugh at me. We like murder documentaries and stuff like that. But there's some stuff I've watched where it's been involved with Satanism, and Satan's behind all murder. He's a murderer from the beginning. But I mean, it's a strong, and I've just sensed an uneasiness. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just an uneasiness, and I got to turn that off. I can't watch that no more. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you've been somewhere. I'm not talking about being spooky. I just preach against mysticism. I'm talking about the Spirit of God is saying, you know, hey, that you don't belong here. You know why? John 16:13 says, howbeit when he speaking of the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. You better be careful around a church. All they want to do is talk about the Holy Ghost. And they lift up the Holy Ghost. They magnify the Holy Ghost. John 16 says he's not going to speak of himself. Now, he's not the red-headed stepchild of the Trinity. It's not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, co-equal, co-eternal, co-powerful. But the Spirit of God is always going to point men to Jesus Christ. I don't know how I got here, Brother Tony. But as I'm not old, but I'm older than I was yesterday. I'm 32, and I've been pastoring 11 and a half years, and I still call older preachers, ask them questions. But Brother Charles, I've had a harsh reality this week. I was on the phone this week with two different young preachers calling me, asking me for advice. I'm like, oh, Lord. And one of them called me this week asking me about a preacher. Said, what do you think about this preacher? They call me the Christian CIA. They think I know something about everybody. I'm like, I'm not nosy. I just hear a lot of things. I'm not. Don't anybody say anything. He said, what do you think about this preacher? I said, when's the last time you heard him preach a message on Calvary? He said, I ain't never heard him preach on the cross. I said, you be careful of a man. Don't ever once in a while take you back to the gospel and take you back to Jesus. I said, you better be careful around that man. And I would give the same admonition. You better be careful about being around a preacher or listening to a preacher or listening. Well, with the internet now, you've got access to listen to any preacher in the world. You better be careful about one that's always preaching about you and you being a better you and you being powerful, and they don't point you back to Calvary. One of the reasons why we're preaching on the life of Jesus Christ every Sunday morning, I believe there's conviction that Jesus ought to be magnified and lifted up in our preaching. I don't care if it takes me 5 years to get through His life on Sunday mornings. We'll do it. We're going to preach as the Lord gives us liberty. We're going to lift up Jesus around here. We're going to magnify Jesus Christ, because that's what God the Father and God the Holy Spirit's all about. They're all about the Son. Amen. Amen. It's all about Jesus. We wouldn't be here without Him. Amen. God sent Jesus, and Jesus sent the Spirit, and Jesus is all that matters. There is the confidence. There's the confession. Look at verse 2. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. The word confesseth, if you look it up in a Greek dictionary, it means to say the same thing. It means it's a consistent message. Every spirit, every preacher that is consistent in the fact of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that He died, was buried, and rose again, that come in the flesh is not just saying that He showed up, but He showed up with a purpose, He showed up with a priority, and that was Calvary. He said, that's God. That's the confession. I mean, listen, there's the contradiction in verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. So I just told you, verse 2, he said, Jesus Christ, if they're preaching Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, implying His gospel work, that's of God. But if they don't believe that Jesus has come in the flesh for the purpose of the gospel, it's not of God, it's the spirit of Antichrist. John is dealing, and I preached on what Antichrist means. John's dealing with Gnostics that had snuck into the church. These Gnostics taught that Jesus was not always God, but He became God at the baptism of John. When the Holy Spirit lighted upon Him, then He became God. That is false doctrine. By the way, that's what the JWs and the Mormons believe as well. They still believe that. All they are is a form of Gnosticism. That's all it is. And the problem with denying that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is they take away the gospel. They take away the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, if they're not about the gospel, and they're not about Calvary, it's not of God. It's not of God. Notice the confirmation. Look at verse 3. Whereof have ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. I don't know if they heard Paul preach in Acts 20. But you know what Paul said? Paul said, after my departure, grievous wolves a grievous wolf shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. I don't know if they heard that message, but they heard somebody say, now apostasy and Antichrist are coming. These false teachers are coming, you better be ready. And are we not seeing it now? We're seeing it all around us. You know, we better have some discernment. Discernment's not criticism. Criticism is when you're looking for something wrong. Discernment is when you're sitting there and you're hearing the truth, you have a desire to hear truth, and something don't line up with the book, and something goes off your head, hey, something ain't right. That's what discernment is. There is a serious warning. There is a scriptural wisdom, and last of all, verses 4, 5, and 6, there is the Spirit's witness. the Spirit's witness. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Notice three, four things, and we're done. There's the children in verse 4. Ye are of God, little children. What is that? That's a word of affirmation. Every time John deals with this apostasy and antichrist, he always gives a little word of assurance, because he knows there's young Christians saying, well, man, am I deceived? Am I one of the ones? He said, no, if you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're one of them little children. You're one of the people of God. There's the children, but then there's the conquest, and have overcome them. Year of God, little children, and have overcome them. You don't have to be defeated by that crowd. You don't have to drop your head and shuffle your feet around that crowd. Here's why. Because, look at number 3, the Comforter. Because greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. There's an old timer. He got stirred up one night in a meeting, and he was going to quote that verse, and he got all excited, and he got it backwards. He said, praise God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in you. He got all messed up with it. We all knew what he meant, but we found it funny. He said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in you. Amen? No, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It did not say that I was greater. That's where this health, wealth, and prosperity gospel gets it all messed up, because they want to lift you up, magnify you, lift you up, brag on you. You ever thought about the story of David and Goliath? Y'all ever heard that story? I preached 5 Wednesday nights in a row about it. I hope you've heard it. I don't want you to answer this question, but I want in, out loud, but in your heart. What's the story of David and Goliath about? Well, David defeating Goliath. Giants are getting our way, and God gives us the victory. That ain't what the story is about. Well, the story is about the God giving David getting the victory of the Philistines. Nope. David told us what the story was about. When he looked at Goliath, he said, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You know what the story of David and Goliath is about? It ain't about David and Goliath. It's about the glory of God. You know what every story in the Bible is about? It's not about Elijah at the brook. It's not about the empty barrel. It's all about the glory of God. And you know what the story of our life ought to be? It ought to be about the glory of God. You know why? Greater is He that is in me. Not greater is me. Not I'm somebody. I hear these guys, praise God, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Yeah, why don't you ask Paul about that verse when that guillotine chopped his head off? I'd say that weapon formed against Paul prospered. I'd say that when Peter was baptized or crucified upside down, that those nails prospered. See, we need to quit quoting verses out of context. And that's talking to Israel about a battle they're going to face. Not talking about that, you know, I know people, praise God, can't nothing get me because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You better check that. You better check that context, what it's talking about. Well, praise God, I can do anything because greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. The context is discernment. The context is knowing what's right from what's almost right. So here's, are y'all getting this? The point of this is not lifting up you. The point is lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, the Comforter. Then notice the corrupt, verse 5. They, who's they? Them false prophets, them antichrists. They are of the world. Therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. That's why Smiley in Texas preached to thousands this morning. That's why T.D. Jakes preached to thousands this morning. Y'all want to get close to home? That's why Furtick down there in Charlotte preached to thousands and thousands of this morning. Not just on his property, but via satellite. What, you know why? They're of the world. And they speak of the world. You know what the world? The world heareth them. They like them. I pulled it up today. It's not hearsay. It's not fake. I'm just about tempted to pull up on my phone right now. Stephen Furtick said that I am God Almighty. Some of y'all may not believe me. He made the statement. You know what he's doing? He has the spirit of Antichrist. I'm gonna pull it up. I wasn't going to, but I'm gonna pull it up. I'll just hold it up to my microphone here so you can hear what he's saying.
I'm not in covenant with a person. I'm not in covenant.
You know what? Did you not get something eerie about that? It's the spirit of Antichrist. He literally said, and somebody said he'd come back and retract it, but if you go back and look at other sermons, he said it before. What's that doing? You know what all them people were doing? They're on their feet clapping. They got the organs going. You know why? Because that feeds the flesh, and the world heareth them. We like that because it's elevating man. Elevation is a Southern Baptist church. Do you know that? They are. That don't mean all Southern Baptists are like that. But here's what I'm saying. It's not like you're just some quack somewhere. He's in Charlotte. And there are independent Baptist preachers, I could name their names, that has followed them on Twitter. And they're infatuated with him. You know why? He's a great speaker. He's a great motivator. And I'm telling you, you know what that is? It's bewitching. It's seducing. It's pulling them in. They like the sound. I was telling that young preacher this week, I said, you better watch these guys. They're all shock and awe. They're always doing something big. I mean, listen, I've heard guys having embalming demonstrations after meetings before. Who cares how they embalm somebody? I don't care. Or rolling caskets down the aisles, having Mr. Death peek in the window, people. You think I'm kidding. I'm telling you stories of real things that's happened. What's it doing? It's worldly tactics. This is not Barnum and Bailey's circus. Amen. This is a church. You know why? How many of you have been in maybe you grew up in a different church of a different denomination, or maybe you've been in a funeral where they've had the pulpit in the corner. Anybody ever seen that before in a church? Some of you have. You know why they do that? Because the Word of God is not the central focus of their church. You know why this pulpit's in the center of this building? Because this book is the centerpiece. Amen. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't sense this here, but if I ever sense people are here for the entertainment of the music, we won't sing. We'll sing congregationals and preach. That's not because I'm the preacher. We'll put somebody up to preach. You better, man, it's 6:22. I'll tell you tonight, here at our church, there are from time to time, Brother Tony, we have service where we testify and I don't preach. That happens. But it don't happen every time. And it don't need to happen every time. There are some times when God has a special service, Brother Charles, where God's people testify and we pray and it's a different spirit. But it ain't like that every service. I think some preachers are just lazy. I think that's their problem. They just don't want to study. I got friends I love dearly, that I have sat on the platform with them in meetings, and they're trying to work something up to get something going. I'm like, if nothing's going, open your Bible, take a text, and preach. And if nothing happens, shut her down after 30 minutes, and let's go eat. That's my philosophy. Because if anything's going to get done, it's going to get done because of this book. Oh, you're one of them people that you just stick to the Bible. I am guilty as charged. Amen. I will take that. Yeah, that's all that matters. They're corrupt. That's why the world... I listened to an interview this week. Anybody remember Robert Schuller? The Crystal Cathedral. Is that what it called? Was it Crystal Cathedral? Had that big old church. He wore a robe. I mean, he was funny, man. I mean, I was listening to an interview. This guy said, do you think men are sinners? No, I would never. He talked like that. He was weird. I would never say that people are sinners, you know, all that stuff. You know why people, thousands, loved him? Because he made them feel good. Here's what John said. They are of the world. That means that's where they come from. But watch what the next verse. There's a conviction. Watch what he says in the next verse. We are of God. You know what that means? We're not of this world. You know why? Because of this morning. We've been born again from above. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I'm done. It's 6:24. I'm convinced of something tonight. How many's been in church? Miss Janice, I know you've been in church 50 years at least, right? Well, you've been in church since you was a little girl. Close to 80 years you've been in church. You can probably see if you can testify to this. Brother Matthew, you've grown up in church your whole life. Brother Clayton, your dad was a faithful pastor and evangelist. Most people, I'm almost to the point, Brother Charles, where I believe everybody that causes trouble in a church is unconverted. Why would somebody who's born again, has the Spirit of God on the inside of them, want to cause harm to the body of Christ? I didn't say everybody that left the church was lost. I don't like those that caused trouble and raised division and raised schisms and isms that Paul talks about. I believe they're unconverted. I couldn't get away with that. How come they can get away with it? And they go on and they sleep just fine and they eat just fine. Everything's all right. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He's going to hear the word of God. If you're saved, you're going to want that book. Is that not right? I like John. He don't fool around. He just makes a dogmatic statement and lets it stand. I don't have anybody in mind when I made that statement tonight. I'm talking about 32 years of being in church. I've seen people stand up in services and denounce the pastor. I believe that. It happened one night at my dad's church. I believe that man's unconverted. Somebody said, "You're judging." You're exactly right. I'm judging. Why would a saved man want to cause harm to the body of Christ? It don't make sense. I'm glad I'm part of the family of God tonight. We got to have discernment in these days. We got to have discernment. And I could break off and preach on 500 things about music, about preaching, about dress, about things. We better have discernment. Hey, and by the way, in a service, you ought to have discernment on when we're testifying. I'm not talking about when I bring a microphone to you or I ask you to testify. But if God's really moving in a service, you ought to be real careful if God wants you to testify. You ought to have some discernment and not just get up and talk for 20 minutes. Because I've got to the point now, Brother Travis, I'd probably sit them down or have to tell somebody to sing because I don't want to offend the Holy Spirit. You can be saved and not have discernment. That's what John's talking about. He's training them and teaching them. So may God help us to have spiritual discernment, to know what's right, when to say, what to say, how to say it, how long to say it, and when to stop saying it. Amen. I sure do love this book. We would not be a church without this book tonight. And I want to make a commitment to preach this book and to live by this book. And I need, and I believe we have it. I'm not asking for a formality thing, but we need a commitment as this church. We're going to follow what the book says. Live by the book. As the people, let's stand. We're going home. But we're going to sing our song and go home. As the people in the book of Nehemiah told the scribe to Ezra, bring the book. Bring the book. We don't want stories. We don't want to hear about the news. We don't want to hear what's going on in the world. Bring the book. We can talk about that after church. We can talk about that later. When we come in here, it's time to bring the book. Let's see what the book says. That's where we're going to get the help. Amen. And Lord willing, Wednesday night, we're going to be in the book of Ruth. We're going to kick off the book of Ruth Wednesday night. One of my favorite Old Testament books. And Lord, we're going to jump in that book Wednesday night. I hope you'll be in your place. Looking forward to what God has for us. All hearts and minds clear? Let's sing 435, one verse. What a wonderful change of my life been wrought.